With Thanksgiving coming up, I know one thing that is going to happen. We're going to be watching football, and at some point, my dad is going to tell us to turn the TV off. We all have to come upstairs. We have to gather around in the living room, and then we have this awkward time when we go around and we share what we're thankful for. I don't know if you guys have any kind of tradition like that. It feels like an interruption when it happens, and oh, do we have to? And then we get up there, and then you're like, oh, my turn to say what I'm thankful for is coming up real soon, and I'm trying to think of anything in this last year that I want to tell my family that I'm thankful for. When I think of thankfulness, I think of one of my friends named Dennis. Dennis is this 6'7" giant with white hair, and he has a white goatee and a deep voice. Like a deep voice for radio. And when I lived in Bemidji and used to be part of worship services, you would hear all the way from the back of the sanctuary his voice every once in a while, just a booming hallelujah or a praise Jesus. When I think of a person who is thankful, yeah, I think of Dennis. His wife even told me one time that in the morning, when he gets up and he has that first cup of coffee, that she can hear him taking his first sips. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just think, man, I want to be thankful. I want to be thankful like Dennis. Like many of you, I pray before my meals. But I got to admit that sometimes I when I fold my hands to pray before I eat, I'm realizing I'm not actually really that thankful for what I'm about to eat. And so then my prayer kind of turns to, yeah, Lord, help me to be thankful. And see, because I don't just want to be a person who just gives thanks. I want to be thankful. I want to be thankful. And when I think of thankfulness in the Bible, I think of the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, it's just a short book, 4 chapters long, but there are 6 times when Paul talks about thankfulness as such an important part of the Christian life. Paul is writing the book of Colossians to this group of new believers who live inland, only about 100 miles away from towns like Ephesus that we might be familiar with, the book to Ephesians, lives really close to towns like Laodicea and Hierapolis. Laodicea, you might know from reading about in Revelation. They're one of the 7 churches that receive letters from Jesus. And it's a small little town that's an intersection of all sorts of different ideas. It's kind of an east meets west kind of a town. And Paul is writing this letter from a prison. He's writing this letter from a prison because he heard that in this little town of Colossae that there are people there who have become Christians and who have started a church while Paul was in prison. Paul wasn't the one who led them to Christ. Actually, he found out it was another man whose name was Epaphras, who through Paul's ministry became a Christian. And then he went back home to Colossae. And when he was there, he told his friends about Jesus. And they accepted Jesus. And they started a church. And so Paul's in prison, and he is hearing word about all of this that's happening. And he writes a letter to them. He writes a letter to them as new believers because he wanted them to think about what accepting Christ means and how life should be lived out every day. And he says this to them, what we just read, Colossians 3:15 to 17, if you have that in your Bibles. It says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If you were to ask Paul, what was he thankful for while he was sitting there in that prison? I think he would have said what he says in the beginning of Colossians. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to pull that out right now. We're really going to look at a lot of the scripture that's in Colossians. And so open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. And in chapter 1, verse 3 to 8, he says this. This is what I think Paul's thankful for. After his introduction, he says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is faithful. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love from the Spirit." And so Paul opens his letter by giving thanks to God. And you wonder, how can Paul be thankful at a time like that when he's sitting in a prison, which are not like the nice prisons that we have today, where, you know, you have a bed and you have a toilet and you get three meals a day. It wasn't like that. Paul is suffering for Christ in a prison, and yet he's there and he's thanking God. Why is he thanking God? He's thanking God because he has heard about this group of people who have become Christians and who have started a church. He's thinking that even though I'm in prison right now, nothing can stop the word of truth from going forth to these people that I've never even met. God's word is going out and it is accomplishing what he wants it to do. And so Paul is saying, when I think about you, when I think about you believers, all I can do is thank God because I had nothing to do with this. Only God can do this kind of a thing. It's interesting even how Paul talks about God's word and what it does. He says, the word of truth in verse 5, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed the whole world, and it's bearing fruit among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Now, that's interesting how he talks about it. It says that the word of God has come to them. And I mean, does that mean that like a Bible is walking to them? And that's how the word of God got to them? And it's bearing fruit to them? Well, no. We know that the word of God came to them because of a believer named Epaphras. But do you notice that Paul recognizes that not only does he not get credit for what is happening among them, but Epaphras doesn't even get credit for what is happening. He's saying this is truly an act of God that this has happened. Because the word of God is getting out there. Even though my life maybe doesn't look the way that I wanted it to look, maybe it's not comfortable, maybe my life is not living up to the expectations that I had, but it doesn't matter to God because the word of truth is getting out there and people are getting saved. That's Paul's focus. And I think that's awesome. You know, it reminds me of another time when Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 to give thanks in all circumstances because this is the will of God for you. He can give thanks in all circumstances because he sees that no matter what he's going through, that God's purposes are still being accomplished. There's even a parable that Jesus told one time about a man who went out and he planted seeds in a field, and then one day he woke up and there were plants growing up, and he was amazed because he just did this small part. All that he did was plant a little bit of a seed, but the miracle is that it springs forward into life, and that's what happens when the word of God goes out. It's just amazing. That's all that you can do then is thank God that his word is getting out there. In fact, that's what I want to do right now. I want to thank God for how his word of truth is bearing fruit among us too. And so let's pray together. Let's pray, God, thank you so much that no matter what is happening in our lives here in iFalls Covenant Church, Lord, we go through some difficult times, but the word of truth is getting out there. People are getting saved. People are growing in their faith. Jesus, everything that you want to happen is happening. And I think that's awesome, God. I just pray for the way in which your seed is bearing fruit. And God, for specific things, like I even think about the teens, Lord, in my ministry, and seeing them grow, Lord, that's only because of you. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at the phrase in verse 15. It says, be thankful, which means to give an outward expression of thanks. The Message translation says, cultivate thankfulness. The idea there is that we can actually grow in our thankfulness. Now, to be thankful, you need two things. You need someone to thank, and you need something to be thankful for. In Colossians 3, verse 15, in 3, verse 16, it's how to be thankful. I believe it's written in there. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. I think that if you want to grow in thankfulness, that what you need to do is you need to immerse yourself in who Christ is and what Christ has done. In Colossians 1, 15 to 19 tells us who Christ is. If you turn there with me, I'll read it. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That's who Christ is. And if you're in a spot in life where you're struggling to be thankful, remember who Christ is. Saturate yourself in those words. Spend time this week reading about this is who Christ is. And read about what Christ has done, which as we continue in verses 19 to 22, it says, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach through him. That is what Christ has done for us. You know, see, these Colossians lived in a world much like ours, where they were just surrounded by messages and lies and advertisements that they somehow needed more than Christ, that somehow he wasn't enough, that somehow they needed to do more in order to be accepted by God. But when we give thanks, what we're really saying is Jesus Christ is the Lord, and he has already accomplished everything that I need for this life and the next, and everything to satisfy me. How do we cultivate thankfulness? How do we grow in thankfulness? As we continue in Colossians 3, verses 16 and on, We can grow in thankfulness with words. In 16 it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. You see, we can be teaching and reminding each other, sharing testimonies about what God has done with each other. It's not just about one person standing up here and teaching you guys about how to be thankful, but it's about us, all of us, teaching each other, sharing words of encouragement from Scripture or just what God has done in our lives, teaching and admonishing one another so we can remind everyone of the message of Christ, that message that Jesus is the Christ, He is the Lord, and that message that He has already done everything for us. We can cultivate thankfulness with singing, with songs. Hey, that's pretty cool. That's good news to me. I do a lot of that. It says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. With thankfulness in your hearts. You know, music has an amazing way of penetrating us into our heart. Poetry, paintings, psalms, whatever it is, let beauty plus thankfulness sink into your heart by singing songs, by surrounding yourself with wonderful creativity, the things that somehow find our way to our hearts, that we may have thankful hearts. And another way that we can cultivate thankfulness is with actions. In verse 17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do with your actions, by your example, let every single action and thing that you do during this week be a thank you note to God for who Jesus is, for what Jesus has done in your life. And be thinking about everything that you do. How is this honoring to God? How can I do things in such a way that God will be glorified in this? You know, as I think as each of us works to cultivate thankfulness as we gather around the table this week and we share why we're thankful to God. Remember Colossians. Go back and read about who Christ is. Go back and read about what Christ has done and who you are because of what Christ has done. I think that will grow in thankfulness. Let's pray. Lord, we're asking, Lord, that you would give us thankful hearts, that you would grow in us a desire to be like Paul here. And Lord, the more that we can know about who Jesus is, and the more that we can let the truth of just how amazing it is what He has done to sink in our hearts, Lord, I have no doubt that we will be thankful people. We will be people who just can't help it, and we'll just be just like, I can't believe this, God. Like, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you that Jesus is so powerful and that Jesus is so awesome. Lord, as we increase in those things, increase thankfulness in our hearts. And when we get together with friends and family, Lord, we'll be thankful for the gifts and blessings that you've given us this last year. But what we'll be mostly thankful for, Lord, is Jesus Christ Himself. We'll be mostly thankful for Him, who He is, how He's a part of our lives, and we'll give thanks, Lord, for what He has done for us. What He's accomplished for us, Lord, is that we are new creations now, and that we have this hope forever that we can gain access to, and we can experience the fruit, and we can experience the joys now. Lord, thank you so much. We can never say it enough. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.